preaching. Do you remember what we have been preaching in the past, like 30 sermons from the Old Testament? Exactly right, from the Old Testament. And you know, we have a great honor in this fellowship, in this church, that kind of a little bit different from most other churches back in our home countries. Many of us here, this is their first church experience. Whether they, at some point when they were children, they attended church with their families and then they stopped going to church and now they are attending again a church, or it is just the first time in their lives. And so I feel honored that decide to come here and I have the opportunity to share part of my love for Scripture and for the Lord with all of you. And also in other cases, they have been around the church for longer, but they don't particularly have grasped like the knowledge of Scripture firmly. And again, I feel so grateful that you decide to attend and come here. And so something that is a concern that I have is that probably less than 5% of us here come to Sunday school. And so as a pastor, that concerns me. I wish we have more opportunities or ways to share with you more formal training, if you would, about Scripture, because it is so important. But anyway, and so sometimes my sermons, I know, is the only chance I have to share with some of us a little bit more of Scripture. So I know there are sermons that are more inspirational, like what we had last Sunday with our brother Richard. It was awesome. I love it. And I tend to be more on the instructional side because I think we also need that. So recently, a few of you have asked me the question, more or less, it is this question. If Christians are part of the new covenant, why should we seek to understand and apply the Old Testament? And well, this is a summary of the questions that I have been receiving recently. Basically, now, the simplest form has been, Pastor Gabe, why we are hearing so many sermons of the Old Testament? Well, one reason is because before that, we need to balance theirs just in the Gospel of Luke, if you remember that. So now we need to balance things. But then I really appreciate that question. I think it is an important question. Why this part of the Bible that we usually call the Old Testament is important, or why we need to spend time with all these sermons that question today? So it's a great question, and I will try to address that question today. As I was preparing this sermon, I was surprised that one sermon won't be enough. I think I need like three of them. But the main reasons I personally have to pay attention, some of us, hopefully more, and I hope this will inspire some of us, hopefully most of us, ideally all of us. And so this is the Old Testament. I thank you so much for being so good to us. Thank you for giving us life today and enough health to be able to come here. Thank you for this beautiful fellowship with people from all over the world. Thank you, Father. And thank you for the sacred scriptures that you have provided to us in the Bible. Help us to cherish them, to treasure them, to value them, and to be inspired by them, and to get to know you better through them. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Well, just as a short testimony, last night I received a disturbing email from Mexico, and pretty much stole my peace of mind. I was very disappointed. I was able to go to sleep, but around 3 a.m. in the morning, I woke up and all these thoughts about that email in my mind, and I don't remember exactly, but probably around 4 a.m., I realized, no, I am not sleeping. I tried to pray, but my mind was so confused and tired that I was not able to pray either. So solution was easy. I just grabbed a pair of shorts and I went out to climb the mountain. I did some exercise at 5 a.m. in the morning. I have already walked like 5 kilometers or something. But here is the point. As I was walking, I was listening to my recorded Bible, to some part of the Old Testament. And let me share with you, at some point, the Lord really spoke to me and gave me wisdom and peace on how to respond to this person. And it was beautiful. And it was precisely from what we call the Old Testament. Beautiful wisdom. Okay, so let's see. Let me start saying that, you know, when we have, you know, there was a point in history where there were printed Bibles. Yeah, you remember those days? For some of you, yeah, you have never had a Bible. That's okay. But you have a mobile device. So if you don't want to have a printed book for whatever reason, there are mobile devices. Now, I like printed books, especially as my eyes are getting older. I should not be spending so much time on screens. However, I need to admit, I love my electronic Bibles. Recently, I discovered just by chance that in my Bible system that I use, I realized that I have taken 17,000 annotations in my Bible. So impossible to do it in my printed Bible. Just impossible. And just with my bad memory to remember, oh, where I wrote this or where I got that, impossible. But electronically, boom, like that. I can find everything quickly. So we have what we call the Old Testament occupying 75% of the Bible. So it is most of the Bibles are the Old Testament or belong to what we call the Old Testament. Now, I am insisting what we call the Old Testament. Well, I'm not saying it is bad. It's okay. But I prefer probably to call it older instead of just the old and the new. Because, you know, sometimes when we call something old, we tend to not give it the same importance. And that worries me because I'm getting older very quickly. And probably you won't appreciate me anymore. So don't call me the old, the former testament. Maybe we can call it the former testament or the first testament, or I call it the older testament. But anyway, let me keep it for the sake of the important thing, testament, but we can change that name. That's not that important. The important thing is that it is a testament given by the Lord to us. So that is the important thing. So 75%. Now, another important thing is that the Old Testament was the only Bible that Jesus had. All his ministry, all his understanding, all his decisions to obey and all his interpretation, he calls it scriptures of scriptures. And talking about the commandments of God, he calls it the Word of God. All of that came from the Old Testament. So it is very important for Jesus. It should be very important for us. Now, there are three elements that I believe Jesus modeled for us as approaching scripture, and we need to consider the three of them. First, it is to have the right knowledge. I have met so many people, so many times, starting back in Mexico, that they have this particular belief, and they think it's in the Bible. And in many occasions, it is not there. So please, let's go to the Bible by ourselves to see what it actually says. That is incredibly important. Now, I have confessed my ignorance here. Do you remember like 2 or 3 Sundays ago? I had this wrong belief about the temple. I'm not going to spend time in that. You can hear that recording on the website or ask someone else. But why? The same thing happened to me. I had this long-held belief that when I went straight to Scripture, I realized, oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I need to correct this publicly. And I got correction from a speech from King Solomon, which is in the Old Testament. And that helped me correct my understanding. So we need the right knowledge, what Scripture act to have a good... Jesus went further than that. We also need to have a good interpretation of it or a good understanding of it. Why? Because sometimes we know what it says, but we can still miss the point of what it teaches. Sometimes there is a difference between what the literal words say and what the teaching behind those words is. So we need to be careful with that. You know, this happened with many of the religious people around Jesus in Jesus' time, that they sometimes knew Scripture by heart. They could recite it, but still they were missing the point. And so Jesus tells them, you are wrong because you don't know Scripture. But wait a minute. They knew it by heart. So what did Jesus mean? That they were not understanding Scripture correctly. And so there we need the help of the Holy Spirit without any question. There's no shortcut there. And we find also very useful the community, the church, the body of believers, because the Holy Spirit does not speak to me only, but speaks to the body of Christ. And so we can together understand Scripture better. Now, I am not saying that the church has a perfect interpretation always, but certainly we can together as a body get closer to a right interpretation. Also, we can benefit from the work of good pastors, good scholars, theologians, good books, good just lay people, believers that have a good grasp, a good understanding of Scripture. And also there are some good books around that may help at some point. Now, please notice I said good books, because there's also a lot of, is garbage a bad word? No, it's okay. Well, there's a lot of not very good books out there, so we need to be careful. Lastly, the third point is we need to have not only the right knowledge, what it says in the Bible, not only a good interpretation, what it means, but also the right response with the right attitude. You know, at the time of Jesus, there were some people that knew it, that knew what it meant, but then they were not doing things with a good heart. Or they were demanding from others to be obedient to a point where they themselves were not willing to obey. In huge contrast, Jesus himself is described as being obedient to the point of death. So Jesus knew Scripture, knew the right interpretation, and was willing to respond to Scripture in the right way. So I hope that we will have this clear in our minds as we approach Scripture. Okay, I want to share with you two passages of the New Testament, one from Ephesians and one from Colossians. But let me read this one first, Ephesians chapter 5, 18 through 19. Be filled by the Spirit, wine which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. Now, I put in a different color psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What do you think this is referring to? Yes, these are references to the Old Testament. So let me go to Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians chapter 3, 16 through 17. So here the list is enriched. All wisdom is added again. Where this wisdom comes from, where these psalms come from, where these hymns and spiritual songs come from the Old Testament. And who would like to be quote-unquote filled by the Spirit? Who would like to receive the word of Christ that it would indwell in you richly? I think any sincere believer would like to have this. Well, do you see how Paul explains this can be achieved? Through what we find in the Old Testament as we share with each other. It says in Ephesians how this is performed, this is done, accomplished, speaking to one another, in Colossians, teaching and admonishing one another. And what is the subject, the content of these conversations, of this sharing, of these thoughts that we exchange, of this admonishing and teaching to each other? What is the content that they have? Well, the Old Testament. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and all wisdom. So it is beautiful when we learn, and I want to include myself there, when we learn to speak to each other using Scripture, and particularly today we are focusing on the old, what we call the Old Testament. And don't forget the right attitude. In both passages, it says, in the first one in Ephesians, with your heart. That means it needs to be true for you. You really need to mean it. You want to bring this out from your heart. And then in Colossians, the same idea is there, in your hearts. It has to be genuine. It has to be truthful. So I don't know, but for you, but for me, just this understanding that we can be filled by the Spirit and we can have the word of Christ dwelling in us, if we approach what we call the Old Testament with the right knowledge, a good interpretation, and the right attitude, that is a treasure. And I don't want to miss that. And I hope you won't want to miss that. The Old Testament is another reason that why we should value the Old Testament is because it actually points to what we already value so much, which is the gospel, which is the Messiah. The Messiah is Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, and the Scripture, what did he mean? The Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that means all of us, by faith, proclaim the good news. He says that the Old Testament proclaimed the good news in advance to Abraham. And then he quotes, in you all the nations will be blessed. This is Galatians 3, chapter 3, 8. So one more reason why we should treasure the Old Testament is because if you love Jesus, if you think the Messiah is the greatest gift from the Lord to us as humanity, well, the Old Testament points to the Messiah. But then we, of course, know that the Messiah is described in his life among us as humans in the New Testament. But then guess what happens there? Not only Jesus himself, but all the writers of the New Testament make hundreds, not a couple, not dozens, hundreds of references to the Old Testament. There's hundreds. Some of them are literal quotations. Some of them are what they are called technically allusions. Some of them are what they are technically called keywords or concepts. So we have all these mixed bag of types of references, but there are hundreds of them. One beautiful example that I invite you to grab an electronic Bible or a printed Bible, have a look into the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and you will find reference after reference after reference of the Old Testament. It's a beautiful thing, so enjoyable. So we cannot just gather and eat credit one part of Scripture. It is all linked together, and it works together for the same purpose. Okay, so one more reason is that God speaks then through both Testaments, from all of them. Hebrews, here we are, Hebrews chapter 1, at the very beginning of Hebrews, it says, although God spoke long ago in many parts and in many ways to the fathers by the prophets, that means God spoke in the Old Testament, in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. That means now God is speaking to us in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. So it is the same God speaking through both testaments. I encourage you to read it. Another question was, but you know, Pastor Gabe, isn't it true that God described in the Old Testament is angry and cursing and with no grace and very legalistic guy type of person and just sending storms and punishments? While, you know, God, as described in the New Testament, is always smiling and loving. You know, I realize many of us have that idea. But let me share with you, that is not a very accurate idea. It is not like that. For the Lord, your God, is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. According to these pictures, this description of God belongs to which side? Belongs to the right side, right? To the New Testament. Well, but no, this is from Chronicles. This is in the Old Testament. And just if you didn't notice, Jesus speaks about hell many times. And in a very serious way. In a very serious way. So this idea of the cloud with thunders, very rainy day in the Old Testament and a shiny New Testament, we have inky life in the New Testament is not accurate, to say the least. There's no such distinction between the Old and the New Testament from that perspective. So we have the same God speaking to us all through Scripture. There are differences, definitely, but not this one. This just is not right. Okay, so what is important is to recognize that we meet the same God in the Old Testament as we do in the New. In the whole Bible, we meet God who is faithful to his promises, both to bless and to curse. So he takes both sin and repentance seriously, but grace as well, and so we should. All right. One more reason why it is so important. Recently, I talked a little bit about the word, quote-unquote, the Word of God. Well, it is the essence of the commandments of God in the Old Testament that Jesus literally referred to as the Word of God. In Mark chapter 7, verse 9, he said to them, "You splendidly ignore the commandments of God so that you can keep your traditions, thus making void the Word of God by your traditions such as these, handed down, and you do many similar things such as these." Jesus Christ valued The commandments of God in the Old Testament, the Word of God, equated them with, quote-unquote, the Word of God. If Jesus valued them like that highly, we should as well if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let me quickly make several quotations from the New Testament. First, from Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses. Therefore, do and observe everything that they tell you." In other words, Jesus considered doctrinal teaching of the Old Testament as with authority. Let's not make mistake about that. We need to consider these teachings as with authority, just as Jesus did. Jesus said that he says scriptures, what he had, that's the Old Testament. Don't forget, when he says scriptures, what he had was the Old Testament. Ignorance of scriptures led to error. Jesus said to them, "And are you not deceived because of this? Because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Are you not deceived because of that?" So may the Lord prevent us to be deceived. We rather, let's get to know scripture better. Jesus taught that believing and obeying, quote unquote, Moses and the prophets is more important than, this was new to me, I didn't pay attention to that before until I prepared this sermon, is more important than or comes first before miracles. But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." So sometimes we make the excuse to harden our hearts and not believe because we have not seen something miraculous and so powerful. Well, we are waiting probably for the wrong thing. If we are not willing to believe scripture, then there's probably no point of seeing a miracle. We cannot divorce them. Jesus said it was foolish not to promptly believe in the prophets of the Old Testament because they spoke about him. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke about Jesus. He said to them, "Oh, foolish." No, where's the smiling face that we thought? "Oh, foolish." "And slow in heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Brothers and sisters, we should not be slow in heart to believe what the prophets spoke about. But even before that, shouldn't we know what the prophets spoke about? There's no shortcut. We need to apply ourselves to know scripture better. Jesus said, "You cannot believe in him if you don't believe the teachings of Moses. Believe me. For if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. For that one wrote about me. But if you do not believe that one's writings, how will you believe my words?" You know, it would be a wonderful exercise to go through the Pentateuch, the first five books in the Old Testament that are attributed to the tradition of Moses, with the specific intention on finding where here this scripture speaks about my Lord Jesus. And what does it say about him? I think it would be wonderful to do this. Referring to the Old Testament, Jesus said, "The scripture cannot be broken." John chapter 10. Jesus was certain that the Old Testament gave testimony about him. Luke 24, 27. "And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets." Do you see the reference again? Moses and all the prophets. "He interpreted to them Do you remember the importance of having the right interpretation? He interpreted to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, this is, I admit, this may not be an easy task for us to do. I admit that. But the purpose of today is to open our eyes to the value of the whole scripture. That's the purpose of today. And I hope that we will treasure it more. Because you think that you have pictures, Jesus said in John 5:39, because you think that you have eternal life in them, and it is these scriptures that testify about me. What about going into what we call the Old Testament, searching for Jesus? Because Jesus said, they speak about me. So we should be able to find him right there. Jesus gave specific examples of prophecies in the Old Testament about him. He insisted that those prophecies must come to pass. And he said to them, Luke 24:44-46, these are my words that I spoke to you, that everything that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, and he adds now a third element, and Psalms, must be fulfilled. So we have Moses, we have the prophets, we have Psalms. So much richness. Then he opened their minds to what? To understand, again, to have the right interpretation, to understand the scriptures, and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and would rise from the dead on the third day. Amen. Jesus said the ultimate realization of the Old Testament is in his person, and he affirmed the value of the law. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. For I truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one tiny letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all takes place. Therefore, whoever abolishes one of the least of these commandments and teaches people to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps them and teaches them, this person will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5. So, Jesus put scripture in the place it deserves. Let's don't mess with that. He knew what he was talking about. We are just receiving. We are not designers of the scripture. So I hope that we will develop love for it. Don't forget the three elements. We need to have the right knowledge. Remember? We need to have the right understanding or a good attitude. We should always remain humble, and we should always be willing for our lives to be reshaped as we learn more from the Lord. Now, you have also asked me, several of you, okay, there are many translations. Which one should I read? So let me suggest to you, and of course this is a suggestion. We are not like a cult that if you read other Bible, you are excommunicated. No, of course not. But let me share with you my top five. Speaking specifically about the Old Testament, I highly recommend to you the Complete Jewish Bible, CJB. This is a very good choice, specifically for the Old Testament. Now, a newcomer into my favorites is the CSB. I discovered this Bible relatively recently, like 1 year ago or something, and it has not been disappointed. It's a very good one. And you know me, I am very picky with translations. It is called Christian Standard Bible. Very good. Piece of scripture, I prefer a more readable paraphrasis of scripture. I highly recommend you The Message by Eugene Peterson. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Peterson. It's a very, it was a blessing to meet Pastor Peterson. It's a very good one. To my surprise, because you know, when you but it is just paraphrasis, is that it is not, technically it's not considered a translation, but it is just a way to rescue the meaning, the intended meaning, but they try to precise they give up on the original words, but they try to preserve the meaning. And so no one argues The Message is not a paraphrase. It is a paraphrase. But still, there are several points that I have found that it is extremely accurate, extremely accurate. So I highly recommend you The Message. And then my two favorite translations, literal side of translation from, and they are very, very towards the literal side of translation, are ESV, English Standard Version, and LEV, Lexham English Bible. So these are some suggestions that you may want to consider. And I invite you to cherish and treasure our whole scripture, specifically today, the Old Testament. We have a treasure there. We do. I invite you to meditate on it early in the morning, in the middle of the day, before going to bed, or as I did this morning, as I was walking, listening to the recorded scripture. And the Lord gave me peace and wisdom on how to respond to these people back in Mexico about one specific issue. It is a treasure. Don't waste it. We have it there. Probably we don't have a good understanding of how much work is behind a translation of the Bible. It is to work in incredible. When my wife and I used to work in a very important organization that is dedicated to translating the Bible. She is a linguist. I am not a linguist. I took some graduate program in linguistics, but although that's not my career. And so we work for this organization. It's called, it has two sides. Probably you have heard about Wycliffe Bible Translators. And the other side of the same organization is called the Summer Institute of Linguistics. So we used to work for them in translations of tools to translate scripture. So at that time, it took like about 20 years to just make the first draft of the New Testament. Now with supercomputers and all these developments, it's a little faster, but it is still a huge, huge challenge. And so I hope that we will value our Bibles and that we will develop the habit and the discipline to get into them, because it is a treasure. May the Lord speak the scripture. Could you please stand up? We will be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us in so many ways, as scripture says, and in so many places. And we see the prophets speaking about you. And then you made yourself human, so you sent your son to live among us. And we got to know you even better through Jesus Christ. And then you sent your Holy Spirit. And we keep learning more through your Holy Spirit. But you also provided these words, this printed or in electronic form, this wonderful message about you and your plans for us. Let us not miss it. Help us, Father, to cherish your word, your message, your scripture. Because we will find life in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And Father, help XICF to be, I don't know, maybe more proactive in inviting each other to get to know Scripture better. Help us to facilitate the right knowledge. And may your Spirit will provide to all of us the right attitude and the right response. Thank you, Father. In your hands we are. And in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you, XICF. See you next Sunday.